Okay, so sing along or chant along if you like, and if you don't, that's fine too, but the words are quite interesting. So, this is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yes, my two questions were, my two questions were, how many people here are new? You are. Okay. And how? And some of them back as well. And my other question is, why do you come to meditation?
It's a different kind of outlook of teaching the religion.
It's a different?
Different kind of looking at religion.
It's a different kind of looking at religion from
yes.
Normal. Yes, this is a method for getting peaceful, and
yes,
it can lead to enlightenment if you follow it through, yes.
Exactly.
Anybody got any other reasons?
It's good for the brain?
Yes, some evidence is that it's good for the brain. Yes, indeed. Anything else?
See, I came here to calm down myself. I was going...
Exactly, I think calming down is one of the most important things.
Mm.
Remember how often in the Metta Sutta it uses the words peace and calm. Anybody want to say anything else?
Being more aware of what's going on around
you. You definitely are more aware of what's going on around you, yes. Yes. Okay, anybody want a last word?
It helps you deal with things in a more rational, calm way.
It helps you deal with things in a more rational and calm way. Yes, very much so. Okay, thank you. Yeah? No. Okay, so I thought what we'd do is, first of all, look at the Metta Sutta and go through it. Has anybody been through it with you, word line by line, recently? No, I mean, what it might mean and be about. Is that all right? Okay. So, on the first line, it says, this is what should be... Have you still got them?
No, I just collected them.
She's super fast. Efficient.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't even see it. It shows... Oh, I didn't mean that. I've got it here. I got my crib sheet. No, I meant, did you? Have you still got your sheet?
No.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, the first...
Would you like them read?
If anybody wants one, but it's not essential. The first line says, this is what should be done by one who's skilled in goodness. And the first word is skilled, that I think is useful. That practicing metta is something that comes over time. Many of us find practicing metta initially very, very hard and odd and almost pointless. But I was hearing only the other day someone said, suddenly it dawned on me, I did it for a week, and suddenly it dawned on me what this was about. And I think this is what happens. It takes time to learn how to do metta. And the more you go on, the more delicious and joyful metta becomes as a practice. And metta is something which really is a good thing. It's all about wishing people well and friendliness and loving kindness. I don't mean romantic loving, I just mean caring, as it says later on, about a mother and child. And also it says that this is what should be done by one who knows the path of peace. And peace is something that in some of you, in your different ways, have mentioned as why you come to meditation. And if you practice meditation regularly and over years, you will find that you get peaceful, more peaceful than you were. And not always does it work, in which case perhaps give yourself metta, give yourself compassion, and remind yourselves of all the things you've done which are basically building up your better practice, your better peace, and your better sense ability to do metta. So these are important. And then one of the other qualities in the next thing, it says, straightforward and gentle in speech. And this is one of the first places that we can practice metta. We can be gentle and kind in what we say. And if we're going to say something that people may not wish to say, we say it in a way which is digestible, rather than, you spilt the tea on the floor, clear it up. You know, I mean... there are better ways of putting that, but I'm okay. And so it's very important to develop the speaking in a way which is really quite positive and kind. And in fact, that's one of the precepts that Buddhists do take. So it's kind speech with kindness and not harsh. Not harsh speech, you're stupid, you couldn't do it. Maybe it was a stupid act that was done. You will have heard that from Ajahn Brahm many times. The person isn't stupid, it's the act that it maybe was a bit stupid at the time. And gossip doesn't... If you think about gossip, and many of us are prone to gossip, then it's... You notice if you reflect on gossip that it's actually not very productive. It stirs up our minds, and many of us have... want quieter minds, and it actually produces a bit of enmity and division amongst people. And of course a lot of gossip isn't right, some of it's definitely wrong. And then worse still are lies. Lying is another form of speech which isn't good, because people don't trust you, and if they don't trust you they won't treat you so well. And if you basically find that you become a fairly trustworthy person, at least what you say is likely to be true as far as you know, they're more likely to respect you and treat you well. And this is a direct result of your practice in these qualities. And then the last one, of course, one might mention is deceit. It's much better not to be deceitful than to be straightforward. Yeah. So that's what it's getting at there, perhaps. And then we go down to about a third of the way down, And it says, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. And there are several things here, really. Notice it's for all beings. We're not trying to be selective in who gets metta, although we may well start off being selective. But the gladness is something that comes from actually developing better qualities of mind, like doing metta and practicing some good ways of speaking to people and that sort of thing. And I've lost my place, sorry. Oh, and safety. And if in the time of the Buddha, obviously some of the novice monks and so on, who weren't very deep meditators, in going into the forest, they may have had a lot of fear. And so feeling a sense of safety is actually very important. It was important in the Buddha's time, and we forget that sometimes. But actually, many people want to feel safe. Sometimes we may, if we go into the workplace, want to feel safe from perhaps a bully. And that's an example of the effect of poor speech. It makes other people feel very uncomfortable. We may want to feel safe from a storm. There are many ways in which we may want to feel safe. We may want to be safe. We want to make sure we don't fall over or something like that. There are many, many ways. And safety, remembering our safety is something which is quite useful. I picked up on this as a factor, as a point, from the American teachers of metta, who in the old days they didn't really mention safety, but the Buddha did, being safe, mention that. And as far as I know. And after 9/11, the Americans were very keen on saying, "May you be safe, may I be safe," because you know they were quite shaken up by that. So it's worth remembering that, I think. And then further down it says, "Oh, that says, may all beings be at ease." Well, not everybody is well, but we can at least be at ease, or we can try to be at ease with whatever afflictions we have. And as we get older, we find that we have to, all we can do is be at ease with it. You know, we are getting older, some of us, and it basically we're falling to pieces. And, you know, let's be at ease with it. Then further on, it says, may all beings be happy. So that's another thing, not just being at ease and safe, but also happy. And then this very nice bit here, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. This is a very good image of how to do metta. If you have ever had a child of your own, you'll know how protective you are towards your child. And how loving you are towards your child. Even if you're not a parent or have never been a parent, you can see how protective a mother is with her infant, or a father indeed. And the Buddha actually talked, apparently, about a cow and a calf, and how, I think in India, of course, cows were important and revered, and cows have calves, obviously, and if you look at the way cows look after their calves, they're very protective and caring, and they wish them to be safe. And I mean, I always often think of horses and baby horses, foals. That's another example where the baby is very well protected and cared for by the mother. And you can think of cats and kittens. If you go near them, they eat them. And if you think of puppies and piglets and little sheep when they've just been after lambing, you know, there are lots of examples we can find in nature that help us, and around, which help us to generate these, get a glimpse of what metta may be about. And then it says, radiating kindness to the entire world. And there is really literally a thing in the sutta about radiating metta above, below, all around. It's quite amazing. And so it really does mean this, radiating this sense. I mean, we all have this feeling from when we go near Ajahn Brahm. He just radiates something that we all get off on. Yeah. And I think that might be metta. So There we are. And then it says further down, freed from hatred and ill will. You know, many of us do feel quite a lot of aversion to things at times. We get irritated with people. We sometimes have jealousies and all these things. And they're not helped by, they're not helping metta at all. And actually, one of the good things is if you're one of these people who's aversive person, which I have tended to be, then actually metta is quite a good antidote. But be careful, because you want to do metta for people and beings that are safe, not people you have a lot of anger for. Otherwise, it just might get much worse. You need to be quite skilled to do it for people you have ill will towards. So those are the points that I really wanted to raise about that. Are there any questions about that? They don't have to be, and you're supposed to wait a long time for someone to say anything. Yeah? No? Yeah? Has anybody tried metta before? I'm sure you have. Right. So, I have a question for you, another one. I could offer you two types of meditation. As I'm happy to do a very basic beginner's meditation, where one does basically mindfulness on the body, just to get in the present moment awareness, and some of you will get further, but just to help you come into the present moment and to let go a bit. That's essentially the same as what is taught in the first class of the Introduction to Meditation class in Nolamara, in Dhammaloka. So I could do that, or I could give you a guided metta meditation. Those are the two I would suggest, and whichever we choose, we can. I'll tailor what I say next. So, have a little think about that for a moment. Yeah, you see, it's the tyranny of having all these choices. It's such a burden. Well. A show of hands, how many people would like to do metta? I think that's clearly carried. Okay, well, the next thing we have to do with metta is that we need to have ourselves, or one metta object, one being that we give metta to, but we also want to give metta to some other being. And the being I'd like you to think about for a few moments is somebody, or it can be something, which basically brings up feelings of kindness in you. And it could be that you've got a pet, like a pet cat, and you find the cat really makes you feel sort of full of loving kindness. Or it may be some teacher in the past, or it could be a parent, or possibly a sibling, or a friend, someone who you found has generally been someone you feel very secure with, and who can give you you feel gives good advice when you need it, and is there for you when you need help, and is basically someone who seems to have some quite good qualities that you admire. So someone that you feel would be suitable, sometimes called a benefactor. But this is a person I want you to get in your mind. If I ask you that in the middle of the meditation, you'll find that it's difficult to think of one straight away, perhaps. So I'm asking you now. It's generally better not to have a dead person. And the reason for this is that if you have a dead person, you may end up feeling, oh, I do wish they were alive, I miss them so much. And that's not what this is all about. So I had a person who first taught me to meditate, actually, when I was very stressed and a relationship had broken up. And he was my next door neighbour, and I never knew he taught meditation. And I basically knocked on it. I knew him quite well, and when I went into my house, I was so miserable, I knocked on the door. And he took me in and sat me down and actually gave me some Reiki, I think, which is very interesting. But then he actually gave me some meditation tapes, because he taught meditation. And that was the start of all this. And he is now dead, and I felt after a time it's best to change my meditation benefactor object. But that's the sort of thing. And parents may or may not be good. I mean, we all have different stories, and so that's up to you. Teachers sometimes work quite well if there's someone you felt inspired you. As I say, often people have pets or have had pets, and if you all else fails, have you got a cuddly teddy bear? Ajahn Bhante Sajato, when he teaches metta meditations up in Jhana Grove, has done anyway, metta retreats, where you do maybe a week of metta and other things. And I was very surprised when I went on one of his retreats, he had a teddy bear sitting in the chair. And since then, the number of teddy bears in Jhana Grove has grown enormously. And on these 3 month retreats, some of us have been known to sneak them into our rooms. And today I was clearing up my room, and I was very sad to say that's got to go. Well, I meant to bring it here. Sorry for not bringing it here, because it's that sort of thing. Look, it's brought smiles on your faces. That's the sort of feeling you need. So, what we're going to do is I'm going to say a few words to introduce you to some nice sort of warm feelings about how you are at the moment, and then we'll start to give ourselves metta, and then we'll move to the benefactor. And after a time, we'll just finish, and I'll guide you through to the end of that. And at the end, it's always good to reflect on how it went for you, which bits were good, which bits didn't seem so good, what worked, what didn't work, how do you feel now compared to how you felt at the beginning. I'll remind you of those. And then we also say some words to ourselves. So I'm going to try and do three lots of words, three phrases. May I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering. That's may I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering. If you want to and you find it really helpful, you can introduce may I be safe, may I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering, or any variation. If you feel you're not well, you might say, may I be at ease with myself. Any variation, but those are the ones I'll guide you on. And we'll say those over and over again, first for ourselves, and then when I say, we can move to the benefactor. And the speed at which you say them to yourself is up to you. If you're getting really restless, you can speed it up. May I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering. But if you're quite peaceful, you might want to say it much more slowly. May I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering. May I be well, etc. You know, long gap, and then you can hear the silence. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. So it's 29 minutes past 7, so I think we can start to get... The first thing we have to do when we're starting our meditation is to get comfortable. And some of you look pretty comfortable already. And if you want to stand up and have a little stretch beforehand, please do. Some people like to have a stretch. I will stand up for a moment just so that other people don't feel they shouldn't. Right? Okay. So we get ourselves comfortable in our seat, and comfortable really means just what's comfortable for you. There's nothing right or wrong. about how you are. And you will know from what Ajahn Brahm says, he sometimes talks about the baggage of our lives. And first of all, we can close our eyes. It's up to you. Whatever's, I would be quite happy to have it off, yes? We get into the present moment by dropping the baggage in our lives. And what Ajahn means by that is the things in the past and the things in the future. We have busy lives. Some of us have worries in the future. We leave them alone now. It's like having two heavy suitcases that we're carrying around all the time. And we're going to put the left-hand one down first, and that is the past. And now we're going to put the right-hand one down, and we're dropping the future for the time being. So we're trying to think about the present at the moment. And take your thoughts to a very nice, peaceful place that you like. It could be out in the bush, it could be on the ocean. Wherever you find really peaceful. It could be in your garden. It could be here. But take your thoughts to where you feel peaceful and imagine yourself in this peaceful place. Peaceful place where the weather is perfect, the temperature is perfect. If it's a bit warm, there's a light breeze just to cool you a bit. Maybe you can hear the birds twittering. Just be there, be happy and peaceful in this place that you like. And when you feel comfortable in this place, look down towards your feet and imagine that there are flowers growing at your feet. And there's a very beautiful one there, a really beautiful flower just at your feet. And bend down and pick up that flower, that very, very beautiful flower, and bring it into your heart center, bring it to your chest, and hold this very, very beautiful flower in your chest. And imagine that this beautiful flower turns into a radiant flower, radiating energy and goodness and peace. And let this radiating object go into yourself, into your heart. And now, try these words. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from suffering. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from suffering. And just keep repeating these three phrases to yourself at a speed that's nice for you. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from suffering. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from all types of suffering. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from suffering. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from all types of suffering. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from all types of suffering. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from suffering. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from suffering. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from suffering. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from suffering. may I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering. May I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering. Now, bring to mind this benefactor person, someone you find have found reliable and helpful, someone you feel you can turn to, or someone who just something that just makes you feel happy and peaceful, such as a pet. Bring this person to mind. May you be well, may you be happy, may you be free from suffering. May you be well, may you be happy, may you be free from suffering. Keeping this person in mind, this benefactor, continue. May you be well. May you be happy. May you be free from suffering. May you be happy, may you be well, may you be free from suffering. May you be well. May you be happy. May you be free from suffering. May you be well. May you be happy. May you be free from all types of suffering. If you find your attention has gone off to some other subject, just bring it back to the metta. May you be well. May you be happy. May you be free from suffering. And now, why not try giving metta to one of the people in this room? Maybe the person you're sitting next to, or someone in front of you, or behind you. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be free from suffering. So now you've done someone on one side, or maybe behind. What about the other side, or in front or behind, whichever it was? One of the other people close to you. May you be well. May you be happy. May you be free from suffering. Now, you've got a group of three of you, you and the two people you've given it to just now. May we all be happy. May we be well. May we be free from suffering. May we be well. May we be happy. May we be free from suffering. Now we expand it a bit more to everybody in the room. May we all be happy. May we be well. May we be free from suffering. Everybody in this room, May we be happy. May we be well. May we be free from suffering. Now let's expand it a bit further. May everybody in the Armadale Health Centre campus be happy. May they be well. May they be happy. May they be at ease. May they be free from suffering. And why stick to the people? What about all the birds on the campus? May all the birds be happy and well and free from suffering. All the other animals here, may all beings on the campus be happy and well and free from suffering. And now spread it to the whole of Kelscott and Armadale. May all beings be happy, may they be well, may they be free from suffering. And then spread it to all the suburbs in Perth in the metropolitan area. May all beings be happy and well, free from suffering. And then, what about all the people in the hills and the beings in the hills? Lots and lots of beings there. May they be happy. May they be well. May they be free from suffering. And not just the metropolitan area and the hills, but why not the whole of Southwest Australia? May all beings be happy and well and free from suffering. Not just the southwest of WA, what about the whole of WA? May all beings be happy and well and free from suffering. and is it just WA or can we include the rest of Australia? Of course we can. May all beings be happy and well and free from suffering. Radiate this kindness and happiness over all of Australia. And what about all the beings in the ocean surrounding Australia? May they be happy and well and free from suffering. And then we can spread it to all beings in the Southern Hemisphere. May they be happy and well and free from suffering. And then the Northern Hemisphere, may they be happy and well and free from suffering. And then the whole globe, may all beings be happy and well and free from suffering. And then we can spread it into all the galaxy. May all beings be happy and well and free from suffering. And then you can go on to the whole universe. May all beings be happy and well, free from suffering. And not just beings alive now, beings to be born. May they be happy and well and free from suffering. Now, having radiated kindness all over the place, bring it back to yourself. May I be happy. May I be well. May I be free from suffering. Be happy. May I be well. May I be free from all types of suffering. And just rest there for a few minutes, a few moments. and before the end of the meditation, how do you feel now? How did you feel at the start, before we were meditating? What did you like about this meditation? What worked for you? Why do you think it worked? Were some beings easier to give metta to than others? What didn't work for you? You all seem so peaceful. It's a pity to say, when you're ready, open your eyes. And have a stretch if you need it. And I'll turn the lights on here. Okay, so how did that work for you? It's a bit different from the way Ajahn Brahm teaches it, but it's more or less what I was taught in Dhammaloka in the early 90s, and I've carried it with me ever since. That one person did me such a lot of good. It was Kanti Tithara. Anyway, she gave one rains retreat, she gave a guided meditation on metta, and it just stuck all these years. And I saw her the other day, about 25 years later, and I said, "Oh, thank you so much for the metta meditation." And she said, "Oh, when was that?" And she said, well, she'd been feeling not too good lately, and she'd spent 3 days or a week or something doing metta for herself, and she just felt so much better for it. So, how did it go for you? Any questions about the meditation? If you hated it, you can say it. I would like to ask, did you find there was any difference between how it was doing metta for yourself and doing metta for this benefactor person. Did you see any difference? Yes.
I find it very difficult to do metta towards myself.
Good.
Much easier to do it to somebody else.
Yes. That's, I think, normal experience. And this is, you know, at the beginning I said it's a question of skill. Well, this is part of the thing. It takes a lot of practice, and because most of us, in fact, feel that we're inadequate in some way. If we don't just feel mildly inadequate, we usually feel absolutely terrible about ourselves, and we give ourselves grief. Well, now is the time to find a way around that. And metta is such a way. But we find it so difficult to do it to ourselves because we're used to beating ourselves up that maybe we need to have these other things, like a benefactor who was pretty reliable, or is reliable, or maybe just an animal, or even just a teddy bear. Something to get these nice feelings going. And as it happens, I got very happy at one point in the meditation, nearly lost it. But this is the point with practice. This is what happens. You get really happy. And if you're really happy, you're much happier. Sorry, everybody else is much happier as well. And that makes your life easier. But it's absolutely normal, that experience. Absolutely normal. And I would say don't push it too hard, but keep doing it reasonably regularly, even if only for a tiny bit. And if you find the wording doesn't work for you, you may want to change it, as I said before. And perhaps in due course you may feel, well, all I want to say is, may I be happy. If you feel that's too heavy for you, you might want to say, well, can I just be well? Or something like that, you know. But just give yourself a bit of a, get a bit of a boost. Okay? So that was the answer I was hoping for. Thank you. Because it is a very real problem that people have. It seems so strange saying this to oneself.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind betting that it's more men have that issue than the ladies.
Really?
No, that's a bit
sexist.
I can hear lots of groaning over there.
It's about 50-50, I think you'll find
it. I think everybody does find it, find that they have great problems with giving metta to themselves and so on. Only this afternoon, actually, just before, when I was going to the car to come here, someone who's finishing off the retreat with me said that she really has to be kind to her. She didn't say it quite in this way, but she said she had a lot of guilt about herself, and she just had to learn to forgive herself. And she was just trying and trying to forgive herself. And this is pretty normal, but it was a woman. It's not just the blokes.
I think women are supposed to be like nurturing people, or this is the role that's given to her to live. So, you know, don't worry about yourself. You should be out there giving it to everyone else.
Yes.
Being kind and considerate and loving and taking care of people all the time. So I think it's quite, you know, quite a lot for women to be feeling, no, I have to put myself second.
Well, I remember my mother doing that all the time, yes. Mm. Yes. Mm. So there we have the point that quite a lot of women sort of feel that they have to nurture other people, and it doesn't really occur to them to nurture themselves. And of course, in the extremists, that leads to burnout.
It does, yes.
And that's not good for anybody.
How about scope?
What?
How about scope?
Scope? Oh, include whoever you like.
Well, the more people you include, it gets harder, I found.
Probably, yes.
From this room to Armadale to so on and
so forth become harder and harder?
That's interesting. Is that because you felt some sort of aversion to the suburbs further away?
I guess I just couldn't imagine that many people all at once or that quickly or whatever. I don't know.
No, okay, well, that's good. I mean, the point is that it's coming back to this idea of radiating kindness over the entire world. I mean, that's what the Buddha could do, but it's quite difficult to do it. And yeah, that's what you were saying. It's you might be able to do it for people close to you, but it gets harder and harder. And I think that's pretty common as well, and something that actually with practice it gets easier. But it's normal reaction. So give yourself metta for finding that out. Sorry, I was doing an Ajahn Brahm there. Anything else? Anybody else got any comments?
I found it easier to generate the feeling with people sitting right next to me because they were a strong physical presence, rather than thinking of a benefactor that's abstract really for the moment. So yeah, it was actually easier to do in the room.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Once you left the room, the Armadale and the, yeah, like, that, it kind of went then. But having someone sitting right next to you, I guess it's a physical presence.
Well, that's, you found that out, and you found that's important for you. So maybe you'll need to make allowances for that in your... If you do some practice of this technique. Yeah. I think it's entirely understandable. We just find it difficult to conjure up some of these things. I knew that from the benefactor, how difficult it is if you just say it in the middle of the meditation. But yes, it is a bit difficult to imagine all these people. But often you can hear the birds tweeting or something.
Definitely
the
birds.
Yeah.
A little bird in here.
Yeah.
I have two little Rosalinds on my knee. I rescued them tonight, so I couldn't leave them at home. No, they're on my knee.
Oh, that was very good visualization.
Well, that's what I kept measuring too. So.
Oh,
is
it right? It's in here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I was looking everywhere.
Yeah. That's where they
are. Oh, they're there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Now, there's a photo for your website.
Yeah,
and did they get happier, do you think?
Oh, they are doing much better. They were almost dead.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, they're not dead now.
No, they're not dead now. We were measuring them so that they weren't making quite so much noise. But, they were glued in their eggs and I had to peel them all off and...
Wow.
I'll warm them up with water and then get them dry and use a hairdryer to blow them dry to make them warm.
And here we have metta personified. Yeah, well done. Okay, any other things about the metta practice you've just done?
Is there an easy explanation, because this is my first visit here, of what metta actually means?
Well, it means being kind and gentle, friendly. And in the longer term, we're talking about it being without any, it's unconditional love and that sort of thing. Is that an adequate answer for you?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Yes?
Is there a difference between loving kindness meditation and a metta meditation, or is it the same thing?
No, they're the same.
Yeah.
It's, the metta is a word in the Pali language. And loving kindness is in the English language. Anything else about that? Okay, now you could now move into a Q&A session if you like. You're all warmed up to ask questions. Or I could talk about where metta fits in the scheme of meditations called the Brahma Viharas. There's metta, there's compassion, there's sympathetic joy, and there's equanimity. So I could do either of these. That's a topic I've got prepared if you haven't got any questions. You got a question? I'm going to preface all any questions by saying, remember, I'm not a monk. I'm just someone who's been to the Buddhist Society a long time and done some retreats. And so these are, you need to check if you think there's something I've said that's incorrect. I'm a bit confused about whether meditation is A, being in the moment and aware of everything around you, but just letting it flow through, or B, letting go of everything around you, blocking it out and ignoring it to focus upon your central, I think it's central self. So, actually it's not quite any of B. It's not quite all of B. Letting go of everything around you is good. Blocking it out is not what we actively do. What we do is get very focused on what we're meditating on, our meditation object, and then the rest tends to fall away. And this is why meditation is such a helpful technique in our lives, because if we can get strong meditation, things around us that are irritating us perhaps fall away. The worries of the past or the future, or the concerns about the past, anxiety about the future. Ignoring it and focusing on your entire your own self. Well, yes, I think that ignoring it can be a technique, but actually in practice it's very difficult to do that. When you, even in this meditation, the one I was doing today, where I kept you saying some words, I'm sure from time to time you found your mind went off and thought about what you had to eat earlier or something like that. Did anybody find their minds wandered off?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's normal. And so it's actually very hard just to ignore stuff. You need skillful means, like a good meditation practice. So that was part B. That the it is about letting go of everything around you, but you can't do that straight away, as you found out in this meditation. Other things come crop up in your mind. So is it being in the moment and aware of everything around you? Yes, it is. But it just letting it flow through you is very good if you can manage it. Often what happens in a meditation is that we think about, we're doing I have a meditation object, it might be the breath or it might be feelings in the body or metta, and then we find we get distracted by a thought. And very often we find that the thought, we keep thinking for a little while before we realize that we've lost the plot, we've lost the subject, the object. And so if you can just be aware of what's happening and then let it go, that's very good. But in practice, again, we need to have quite good meditation practice for that to actually occur. But very much definitely, meditation is being in the moment and aware of what's going on around. And we do this by the means of having a meditation object. And in the meditation that's taught mainly in BSWA, the Buddhist Society of Western Australia, we use meditation on the breath. And as you will have heard from some of Ajahn Brahm's talks possibly, if your meditation on the breath gets very sustained and strong, eventually everything falls away and you go into a blissful state. But that's what people strive for. And I shouldn't use the word striving. They try too hard, and that's why they can't do it. But basically, people, it takes years for some people to learn to do that, if they ever learn. But the other way of meditating as well, which is very useful when we start first sitting down, is that we be aware of what's going on in the room around us, because, you know, there are things going on and we can become aware of it. When I'm talking now and perhaps you're partially or fully listening to me, you may not notice that bird tweeting. And you probably haven't noticed the traffic in the background. I hope it's there. I can't hear the traffic, actually. But the point is that your focus varies. But a way of getting into the present moment is by basically, first of all, being aware of what's going around you, and then gradually bringing it into your body, and what's happening into my body at the moment. And you may be aware of pain, or you may be aware of the sensation of sitting, the pressure on your butt, or perhaps the pressure on your back, if you're leaning against the back of the chair, pressure on your neck, if you're slightly on one side, or you may have a bit of arthritis, and that bothers you. And of course there's always the pressure on the feet and the sensation of the solid floor. How many of you can feel the solid floor just now? That's a very good place to start sometimes. And if you pay attention to the feelings in your soles of your feet, you may possibly be able to feel some movement there. It's actually not just a solid state, it's a solid floor, but you find your perception of what's happening isn't quite constant, it's changing. So just for a moment, put your feet flat on the floor if you can, and see what you can feel. You might feel temperature, hot, cold. You might feel things moving around. You might feel solid. You might feel the texture of the carpet, just to give some examples. Or you might feel something else in your body, but at least you're in the present moment. Do you see? You're all doing it. You're all in the present moment, even for a short time. And that's a skillful means for getting into the present moment. And if you spend a few minutes just being aware of what's happening in your body, you'll find that it's an absolute hive of activity. There are obvious things like breathing and the heart. But you'll find there are loads of things in the body that are moving around, and it's not quite like you thought it was, probably. And have you noticed when you're driving, most of the sense of your body disappears? That's because your awareness is on something else. So I think that the answer is that there's quite a lot of being in the moment, definitely being in the moment, and aware of everything around you. Well, being aware of where you want to. It could be everything around you, or it could be much more narrow focus, like what's in the body, or even more narrow, just the breathing, depending on how quiet you are. And ideally, you'll just let it flow through. You won't get attached. So, for example, I get quite a lot of pain sometimes in one of my ankles because I had an injury, and I find that can be ameliorated a bit, made a bit easier to cope with, if I notice that pain quite carefully, and I notice that it's actually never in the same place, it's always just moving around a bit. And after a time, it just sort of is less important. Yeah, really. Pain is a wonderful object if you can do it skillfully. I'm not kidding. Because it's, of course, there are some pains that are really much more intense than others, but some of the lower level pains, we find that actually they're really quite interesting. And the pain, I was astounded to find the pain wasn't like I thought it was. I thought it was just a sort of cutting sensation, but it isn't. It's actually lots of little bits of pain going in a line. And I think that they're just it's a cut, and it's all one big cut, but it's not. It's lots of little sensations. And so it can be a very useful object. And once you get interested in these things, all the other things tend to fall away. So, I hope that's answered that question a little bit. And are there any other questions? Yeah.
You did a retreat in Burma, and I'd just be interested to know a little bit about the style of practice there.
Okay. I went to a retreat that runs once a year near Mandalay on the other side of the river, the Irrawaddy River, which is a huge river running through the centre of Burma, and it's in what's called the Sagaing Hills, and they are huge in terms of having a very large number of monasteries that have been there for a long time, and it's a spiritual centre of one of the spiritual centres of Burma. And I was in a monastery called Chaswa, which is actually on the river. It's on the hills above. It's on the hill that arises from the river. It gets to quite high. And it's built up the hill, so you spend all your time walking up and down steps. And it's called a fusion retreat. It was run by the abbot, Sayadaw Ulakana, who's taught in Australia, in Perth, from time to time, and jointly with some people who were based in Vipassana Hawaii, which is a retreat organisation based in Hawaii. And the main American teacher was called Stephen Smith, and he had had 5 years as a monk under Upandita, who is a monk in Burma who's now died, but he was well known for his very strict style. And Sayadaw Ulakana, my teacher, was also a teacher taught by Upandita. And Stephen went there as part of his monk's training, and the rest is history. Stephen is in the is disrobed after 5 years, and he's continued to practice. He's now about 70. And he teaches in Australia and all over, well, in some parts of Asia and in North America from time to time. And if you want to go on that retreat, it's once a year for 3 weeks. It's a real monastic setting. It's very Burmese, but they look after the Westerners. You have your own hut with a rather rudimentary bathroom, and you have a bucket of hot, you have a large flask of hot water every day, and that's all the hot water you have. And there's drinking water from bottles, and you have a shower if the water's running, and that's straight out of the Irrawaddy, so don't swallow it or anything. And it's absolutely amazing because it's so authentic, although in the last few years I'd have to say that mobile phones have crept in, and it's very good. And as a byproduct of this, the retreatants are give dana, and some of that has gone to the local hospital, and some of it has gone to nuns' monasteries, and some of it has gone to the school. And the school, when this retreat first started, had one hut that was down by the river and got flooded in the rainy season, and now it's got two higher up. It's got two buildings, each with three classrooms or four classrooms. And they have people all the way from kindy right up to, I think, sixth form, high school. Year 12, sorry, showing my age. And it's a remarkable. And they give the teachers an extra stipend, and they give the students their own uniform. And they even pay the parents to have their students at work, their children at school, because otherwise they'd be working in the fields. And it's a marvellous example. It's called Metta Dana. Metta is what we've been doing, and Dana is giving. And it just really is wonderful. And as I said, the hospital also has a clinic. It has very good clinics, and Western teachers have taught them acupuncture and things. But that hospital, which again was started by Sayadaw Ulakana, and is... has been supported by this retreat and amongst others. It's the best hospital in the area now. I think there are American and Western hospitals in in Mandalay as well, but it's considered to be the best hospital in the area. You get the best treatment. It's not flashy. I saw people having their cataract operations just like you do it here, except that it's not flashy. And they get it done. It's amazing. So that's that. We do 3 weeks of basically Mahasi tradition, which is 16 hours a day, but I never did 16 hours a day. And you do an hour of sitting and an hour of walking, and you have breakfast, and then you do the same, and then you have lunch, and then you do the same, and then you go to bed eventually. And you also get Dharma talks every day, and you get also question and answer in the morning. It's quite a strict regime, somewhat like they have here in the Jhana Grove Retreat Centre. But it's all Mahasi, which is meditation on the sensations in the body. It's very different from here, from what Ajahn Brahm teaches. And that's where I went. Does that answer the question? Right. I did that 8 times, I think. I did it. I was very impressed with Sayadaw Ralakana, so I went back and back and back, especially when I thought he was probably going to die, and then he did die, and I went one more time. And the guy who replaced him was very good. I would continue to go back, but there are various reasons why I haven't. Okay, any other questions? There's one more thing I'd like to say. That closely associated with metta meditation is something called self-compassion, which is giving ourselves compassion. And this is important. And there is a website which has on it some talks, some guided meditations, and one of them is called self-compassion. And it's 25 minutes long. I've got it on my Android phone if anybody wants to Bluetooth it across. But it's very good for self-compassion. You learn to give yourself compassion. And instead of saying, may I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from suffering, it's may I be safe, may I be peaceful, may I be kind to myself, and may I accept myself as I am. And I was given this by someone who had been on the Buddhist Society pilgrimage to India and Nepal, to the various sites, the Buddhist sites. And she one day sent it quite out of the blue and said, this is really good. And I did it for a week. I was very unsure initially, but I did it for a week, and it's really good. You know, if you're a bit low because of trouble at work or something, or, you know, you're feeling a bit under the weather for whatever reason, the usual reasons usually, it's very good. And I gave it to people in the retreat centre here, and they said, ah. Oh. I'm not suggesting that it displaces anything else. It is actually available as a talk on the monk's own server. But it's under selfcompassion.org, and it's by Kristin Neff. And it's just another way of doing it if you want a guided, and she also does guided metta. And it's just if you want some guided meditations, there you are. They're all the guided meditations from the BSWA. I'm not trying to suggest anyone is that you shouldn't go to them or anything like that. I'm saying BSWA does great stuff, and Ajahn Brahm is a great teacher, and I'm very grateful. But I just thought I'd mention it because other people and myself have found it useful. So, it's 29 minutes past. I didn't hear the thing saying, get out of the building. Okay. Well, any last question in the last half minute? Okay, well, thank you very much for not going to sleep.
Thank you, Richard, and this is a little thank you token to you.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. That's very kind. Thank you. Right.